Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week, I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we dive into unique strategies and stories to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow, even in this really chaotic AI disrupting era. I've got the perfect person to help us navigate that. His name is Cameron Nutter. He is the CEO, co-founder, CEO and managing partner of Goose Rocks Ventures. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, pleasure to be here, Melinda.
I really like the name Goose Rocks, and I believe there's more meaning behind that. Can you tell us what it's about?
Where you got Yes. That? Well, spelled a little differently, Goose Rocks is actually a real place. It's a beach in Maine. And my wife is from Maine, and we got married in Maine. And after our wedding, we took pictures on that beach. So it holds a special place in our heart, and we try to visit every year.
It's so pretty. And then what about your logo?
Well, our logo is representative not only of the place we love, but ties into our theme of giving wings to innovation as a company that supports that and supports startups and entrepreneurs. And not many people know this, but the three kind of little rocks under the goose represent and tie to the pillars of what we try to do as a business. So representing value in innovation, equality, and sustainability. So it is representative of, you know, what we stand behind and believe.
Oh, I really enjoy that you can look at it. You can look at the business, and it ties back to that moment that you met your wife and got married. And so it all has this really beautiful circle and energy around it, just like the meaning and everything that you do in the business.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And so I'm so glad that we're going to dive into AI today, because there's so much talk about it, and it's going to continue. Mm-hmm. AI is here to stay. But you're going to share some light about the debate around AI. I think that a lot of people see that it's here. We know that it's here, and we see all the power and the tools that people are using. But there's also, you know, a lot of tools that don't work. So can you, in terms of AI, can you share with us more about that?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, clearly, I think we're navigating the paradox of progress. Artificial intelligence is not a monolith. It's a complex dual-faced engine of progress and disruption. And so it is very much a two-sided coin. What I think, though, is that we need to move the conversation potentially beyond just a simple good versus bad dichotomy to a more nuanced exploration of how we can maximize the incredible benefits of AI while trying to proactively mitigate some of the significant and often painful externalities that we're seeing. And I think one of the, you know, areas that's popping up are some of the key studies right now that represent a spectrum of the belief in AI. And on the one hand, you've got the MIT study, which is often cited, that says, hey, you know, up to 95% of AI pilots are failing to deliver meaningful ROI. More recently, you've got the Wharton study that's saying, hey, in contrast, up to 75% of organizations are actually reporting a positive return from generative AI, and as much as 80% or more of enterprise leaders are using it weekly. Mm-hmm. Now, these studies represent a little bit different ways in how they were developed, but I think what's interesting is that they're probably both correct in a way, but looking at different parts of what I would call the same elephant. MIT, I think, is really highlighting kind of that brutal reality of if you initially implement, there could be a really high failure rate of early stage projects. While Wharton is capturing the value realized by companies that successfully navigate kind of that initial gauntlet. And I think one of the key takeaways is that achieving AI success is hard, but for those that do, the rewards are very significant.
Yeah, and how what is hard about it, do you think, for people that are trying? There's, you
Yeah.
said 95% are failing, right?
So the challenges lie in a couple different areas. Initially, I think finding the right use cases that are applicable to each individual business and not just jumping on the bandwagon, so to speak, and trying to be like everyone else. I think the second piece is that there are only finite resources, even within companies, financially and otherwise. And so being able to use that money when you're also making trade-offs between R&D, between funding actual humans now versus now turning to AI and more machine-driven types of operations. So these outlays that companies are making are not inexpensive. These are significant investments. And the MIT view was more sobering because it looked at it while a little bit more harshly and saying, is there a return within 6 months? And if not, that's why the failure rate's looking a little bit lower. On the other side, you've got Wharton, a little more self-reported, a little more lenient maybe in how long some of the runway is for these AI investments to be successful. So I think the reality is most companies are going to be somewhere in that spectrum, maybe skewing a little lower now. But like Jensen Huang and others have said, who are leaders in the space, AI is getting smarter every day. It is not slowing down. This is not a hype cycle. You may be seeing some of that fluctuation in the stock market based on the belief, but companies and countries are investing more and more every day, and user adoption continues to grow.
And I love what you said earlier. It's not about is it good or bad? Should I use it or should I not? It's, I mean, let's like move the conversation into how to use it and how to leverage it effectively. Because just because you use it doesn't mean you're using it effectively,
Exactly.
especially if you're in a business owner.
And there could be some companies too that are being a little short-sighted with some of the moves they're making, and there could be a backlash later. Nothing has had enough time to necessarily pan out and prove all of the different results. So I think the jury's still out in that sense.
I mean, I think, well, because I'm implementing a couple of things in my business, and I see it as a longer runway than 6 months, because this is something that I'm going to continue to work with it, to evolve with it, to see what my clients are doing with it.
Now, what I did like that MIT acknowledged, even though they were a little more stringent, was that they found that there was this thriving, what they called shadow AI economy, where over 90% of employees are using personal AI tools like ChatGPT for work tasks. But while these, tools enhance individual productivity, this often doesn't translate into quantifiable organizational performance or ROI for the company at the highest level. So I do think there is still some significant legwork for companies to more practically adopt this into the culture of how they're making decisions. And also maybe this could influence the incentive and motivation for executive pay structures so that it's not just all about stock price and things that may create conflicting interests.
Interesting. And so you mentioned about the employees using it to increase their productivity. And how about like, are is it going to help us with overall communication, connection, leadership skills? I know it's like you mentioned, it's not rolling up into the highest level, but then I'm interested to learn how it's affecting us as a human race, like in terms of connection. Like, are we going to start having our AI start to communicate for us?
I'd say there's pros and cons naturally of what's going on. I think there is a sobering reality check of some of the negative externalities where we're seeing significant job displacement. Already, I think you could attribute millions of the workforce jobs that have been lost to AI, with companies now announcing, tens of thousands of people at a time potentially being cut. And on that communication front, what's interesting is that in parallel, while some of these larger cuts have been made, there's been a lack of empathy in how that's been made. And so I would say that's one of the negative areas, for example. Another challenge, I think, is especially with younger individuals who are coming out of college, who are trying to get their foot in the door, just like I did when I left Villanova and moved to New York City. I was able to cut my teeth there because they allowed me to make mistakes, but they also entrusted me with responsibilities. N The younger generation is finding it hard in some cases to get that employment, and there could be a longer-term negative consequence here where we have a leadership glut
Right.
because none of these young people are allowed to build their careers in significant ways, in significant numbers. And so, those are some of the negative areas. The last part I'd touch on, maybe what's kind of an underlying factor, is sustainability and the amount of water use that's going into supporting data centers, making chips. Even when you're doing a query on ChatGPT, 100 words or more, you might be using an entire bottle of water. So I think there's a thoughtfulness of how we use AI, and not just because you can speak into the phone and it is very convenient, but being more thoughtful about what you can still read in a book or find in the internet, now the old school ways almost in some sense.
The old
On the flip side, though, I would say naturally there's significant advantages to AI. I use it every day. It has significantly reduced the amount of time and effort that has to go into certain research, even though sometimes you have to be careful of hallucinations and other bad data. So there's always that quality check there. But you cannot argue that it can reduce the cycle time for doing lots of different things. So just from research, to building decks, it is almost completely revolutionized now the consulting industry and turned it on its head, so much so that McKinsey's charging less by teams in the hour and more on outcome-based types of things. Now, AI also has the capability to help people spend less time working individually so that they could bring that information back to the group and be able to share it. So I think whatever side you're looking at, you can see some of that. I think, though, beyond just communication and with people, the ultimate value of AI is going to be when you can get that closer to the data. I know agentic AI is very popular now in the news, and talking about how it's replaced, a lot of people in customer support and admin and other areas. But there's a thought there that you have to get it with your structured and unstructured data. So get it close to the data, be able to have it find insights, which it can do because it's really smart like that, and then be able to make decisions faster. I think that's really the use case, and that's what I've been focusing on is when I've been looking for innovation, not just the AI buzz, but trying to, cut through some of the noise and find those clear signals of crystallized use cases that are valuable for certain industries like construction or healthcare or biotech. And so, that's what we've been focusing on at Goose Rocks in particular.
So you mean to at Goose Rocks, you're focused on getting the important, accurate data.
Well, I think
I mean.
the data piece actually ties back to experience that I've had working at different companies. So prior to Goose Rocks, I can tell you that a decade ago, when I was at Dell Technologies, I was a director of corporate strategy. And we were looking into RPA at that time significantly, repeatable process automation,
Okay.
kind of one of the precursors of what has become a little bit more popularized through AI, even though there are differences and nuances. But we were already looking back then at ways that we could just automate processes through technology to be able to improve the business. What was also interesting at that time period was I was at Dell right after they merged with EMC in $67 billion deal. It was the largest deal in history at the time. And when the seven SABs or strategically aligned businesses came together, one of my mandates was actually to help look across all of the different businesses and try to find what the platforms of the future were going to be that could drive ecosystems, because there had already been a lot of success at Amazon and Salesforce at creating platforms that were doing well. And so we were looking, given that there's a certain capital allocation profile the company has, and you want to maximize ROI based on trends and other things. I can tell you we had identified 14 different areas, and one of those areas was infrastructure, hardware, and software for AI. And so Dell has had a long lead, maybe more popular now given the relationship with NVIDIA, but that's something where understanding how AI and other things can be close to data and be able to make those decisions, that's where there's real power. Now, though, in what I was describing is as we're looking, as Goose Rocks is a angel investment and advisory firm and startup studio, we are looking for different plays, including those that have AI capabilities across different industries.
So you're saying to get the use it as a use case, get data to make better decisions.
I think that's where you're going to see the most value out of AI. A
Right,
lot of the other thing, yeah, a lot of the other things we're talking about are communication and interaction, or people using it to personally improve their productivity. And all of those things are going to matter. But if it's not close to the data, using source of truth or as close to what that is to really make decisions faster and better, you won't get as much value out of it. And the agentic piece, I think, is certainly helping in certain areas, maybe cut costs. But I don't know that the NPS scores for these companies are going to go up based on interactions, as people are kind of having a backlash against continuing to talk to machines more and more.
I love that. I love that. I mean, because then you can use it to strategize, and it doesn't, you don't have to be the CEO of the company, but you could be a leader of a team in any part of the company where, no matter where you're at, sitting organizationally, you use that information, like you said, to make strategic decisions.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of I think what companies need to also focus on too is their own culture, addressing perhaps the deterioration of culture, but making sure that while AI is being implemented, it's not just something that they're doing for the street to be able or their board to look better. These investments, I think, really to drive a concrete change, need to be incorporated into how long processes have traditionally taken, and even getting leadership more in the room and less about, hey, let's look at even read the one pager or look at the slides. Why don't you use some of the tools that are now available live to be looking at AI? And I've seen some incredible examples working with startups and other companies at different stages of their life cycle that have these abilities now. And I think that it needs to force a rethinking of how some of these large companies are doing things. And how they're interacting daily.
So are you saying that these companies are needing to incorporate more of this into the culture in terms of when they get the information, how are they passing it along? How are they communicating? How are
I
they
think
more?
there a lot of them are already making mandates like Accenture that if you don't use AI, you're going to be out the door. What I don't know, with every company though, is how much they're actually adopting it for processes like long-term planning or preparation for other areas where this could shorten the cycle time. And instead of having some expectation that people are going to come in with the answer in some kind of deck, and I can tell you, having been in so many of these meetings, the focus often shifts to the polish of the deck, the exact words that are being used, semantics. I know they matter, but What if you didn't come in with that and you just came in with the AI tool and we're all looking at it live and looking at the
Got it.
answers live? There are capabilities like that now, which would move the needle, but are more revolutionary and
Oh,
perhaps
yeah.
uncomfortable to some of the ways that companies that are doing it. And because they've been so successful, they may not need to think they need to rethink that part of the business.
Right. No, adopting it. Like, how do we leverage it? How do we like bring it in as a part of the meeting and the part of how we make decisions? And having maybe some slow, maybe some ways to slowly adopting it. I don't know. Some people are probably just going to go full force, but other people, like you said, maybe more. Are we sure we want to do this? Is it the right thing? Can it do it just as well as we do? And so
And the
navigating all that.
interest and the interesting part too is being in Silicon Valley, we're kind of at the epicenter,
Right.
and a lot of the talk that you've seen is at the highest enterprise level for some of the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah.
AI still has so much room to go, particularly with SMBs or small and medium-sized businesses, and with even the older generation and some people who just kind of have, are not necessarily as technology focused. So there's a lot of opportunity, and I think the biggest untapped area I would say is SMBs.
And so if you were to forecast in 5 years, what do you think we would be in 5 years?
I think things are going to change dramatically. I think there's going to be a lot of fallout. Right now, what I'm seeing, especially being in the VC community, is very large amounts of investments all going to AI and ignoring other industries, which is okay because that's creating opportunity for us. But a lot of these companies may not be here in 5 years, and some of these valuations right now, I'm already questioning when companies are getting billions in investment. There's kind of a feeling it with VCs of they don't want to be the person left out. So once a company gets a check or two from a big name, it's very easy for the others to jump on board. And then it almost feels like it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that the
Right.
company is going to get a high valuation. I don't know that that's going to translate to success, though. So I think there's still going to be a significant reduction in a lot of firms. However, I think there is opportunity for the companies that are going for carve-outs of specific use cases and specific applications. I think those might thrive more than some of the companies that we're seeing right now.
Awesome. Awesome. Wonderful. And I've learned so much, Cameron. This is such an exciting conversation. I've learned just with how, the different ways that we're all using it, the different ways that people are viewing it, and how we can lead the charge in shifting the conversation on now that it's here, how can we best use it? Especially with decision making and strategic decision making for the companies. Right. And so, can you share with us one last golden takeaway? What is the one piece of takeaway you want the audience to remember?
I would just say, the promise of AI is immense. Its costs are real and immediate. But the conversation, like I said, really has to go beyond just good and bad and address everything head on, not as a distant possibility, but a present day challenge.
Yeah, right. Stay focused, stay present. Yeah, because so much is changing. We cannot predict the future. And so, how do we be present with
You
it?
cannot. 5 years ago, we were having COVID.
Yeah, I know.
So, and I don't think anyone predicted the AI fervor that we've got now.
Wow.
So, 5 more years, I think we're going to be in an interesting place, but also one that has significantly more ability to improve the planet and improve life. But there's going to be a lot of growing pains in between.
Right. And so I love that frame of just, hey, it's just still the growing pains. If it's uncomfortable, it's normal. Ride the wave.
Ride the wave.
Go to Goose Rocks in Maine. You'll probably
Yes.
feel a lot more calmer.
Well, I don't want everyone together, but just enough. Feel free
That's
to
true. That's true. All right,
visit.
Cameron, thank you so much for the engaging conversation. I had a great time.
Me as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And thank you, audience. I trust that you got your golden takeaway. And if you need some additional support, can they reach out to you?
Yes, yeah, feel free to go to our website and you can actually fill out contact, or you could DM me on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And implement any of your golden takeaways. And don't forget, anytime you have a chance to connect with someone, communicate with someone, you're also influencing and making a bigger difference, a better difference in the world. Take care. Much
Take
love.
care.
Bye bye. Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparks something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks, we're not getting the results that we want, I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.